السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa and those listening over the receivers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the surah, Suratul Mulk, upon Rasulin Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a surah which you and I are all familiar with. The first verse of this surah which I just recited, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says Tabarakallazi. But before we go to that, it is not a tafsir of the surah. This ayat just came to mind now. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that whosoever recites this surah is going to protect him from the azab of qabr. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that in the Quran Sharif there is a surah which is only of 30 ayat, 30 verses. But it will intercede on behalf of the reader, and it will go on interceding until it will take the person out of the fire of Jahannam and put the person into Jannat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, just as he mentioned about Surah Yasin, that it is my desire that it be in the hearts of all believers, in the same way Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that it is my desire, it is my wish, that this surah, which we call Surah Tabarak or Suratul Mulk, should be in the hearts of the believers. He expressed it as his wish, as his desire. When discussing Surah Yasin, I mentioned that if somebody that we love makes a desire, then we go out of our way to fulfill that desire. If a person's sheikh has to tell him something, that it is my wish, it is my desire, that you do this or do that, now the person goes out of his way. If a person's parents, he has got love for them, they have to say something. The wife, the person has got love for his wife and she makes some demand or she wishes something, the person goes out of his way. Here Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is expressing a wish that this surah should be in the hearts of every believer. Now how long does it take to learn 30 ayat of the Quran Sharif? We learn so many things. Day and night we are memorizing so many things, and if we have to look at the information that we have in our brains of those things which are going to be no benefit in this world and the akhirat, then it is, there's so much there that it is baffling imagination. So much information with regards to those things which are futile: cricket scores, football teams, rugby matches, and politics, so much of which is useless, of no real consequence, history of the past, of certain things which are not going to be beneficial in any way. I'm not saying that it is not jais, you must not misunderstand me, to have the knowledge of all these things a little bit, it is not haram. But what I'm saying is that when we have got so much of time for all these different things, to memorize, to learn, and to be able to converse, to be able to talk when we are in a gathering, to be able to make our presence also felt, that when they are discussing these issues, then we also must have some commentary to give. Now, if so much of thing we go through, which is futile, then how long will it take to learn 30 ayats of the Quran Sharif, which will make Rasul-e-Pak Rasam happy, that it was my desire and this ummati of mine, he fulfilled this desire of mine. will it not bring us closer to Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When he is informed that this ummati of yours fulfilled this desire and he learnt it. There is no question of age also. Make the effort, start. Then if Allah Ta'ala wills, the person learns it well and good. But because of his age or because of his failing memory, if he can't even learn those 30 ayat, but at least he will be in the list of those who made the effort to please Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like that woman, that old woman, when she heard that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is going to be sold in the marketplace. Now the price was not within her reach and within her means, because Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very handsome and they knew that his price is going to be very high. But she also went in the queue, and when they asked her that, what are you doing in this queue? You cannot purchase Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He's going to be sold as a slave, but you don't have that kind of money to buy Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, even if I do not have the money to buy Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, at least I will be in the list of those who were in that line that were going to purchase Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So if this was their jazba, then why should we not also be at least in that list of those who made the effort to memorize Surah Yasin, Surah Tabarak, and whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had desired and willed. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Tabaraka alladhi biyadihil mulk. Ba barkat hai wo zaat. Barkat actually means increase. Therefore, one great alim used to say, ki kuffar, mushrikeen, yahud, nasara, inko barkat samaj mein aane hi wale nahi. Inko barkat samaj mein nahi aayegi. They can't understand what is barkat. Because barkat does not mean just an increase, if we're just looking at the technical. Barkat has got a very wide meaning. But here when barkat is in relationship to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then it means He is great. Allah Ta'ala ki zaat Ali Shah hai. As we say, Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala is great. Any greatness that comes into our mind, Allah Ta'ala is greater than all that. So here it says Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Zat is Ba Barkat. Allah Ta'ala is so full of Barkat. His sifat, that the person who takes Allah Ta'ala's name, his tongue becomes full of Barkat. The person in the clothes in which he takes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's name, those clothes become full of Barkat. The place on which he takes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's name, that place becomes full of Barkat. It's just that we, after our sins, we all wash away everything and cause all the nur to vanish. Otherwise, why do people want the tabarrukat of the Ahlullah? Why do they want the tabarrukat of the Waliullahs? Why do we want tabarrukat, if we can, of the Sahaba-i Kiram, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'in? Why do we want the tabarrukat of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If somebody has an authentic hair of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, why does he consider it to be of so much barkat? Because it is related to, it has got a nisbat with Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the same way, all these Ahlullah and the Awliya-i Kiram, the clothes in which they made the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it became full of barkat. So much so that the perspiration of the Awliya-i Kiram, there are so many incidents of Din-e Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayh, all the Awliya-i Kiram, Khaja Muhyiddin Ajmeri Rahmatullah Alayh, Alauddin Sabir Kalyari Rahmatullah Alayh, take all of them. In India, when it's hot, it's really hot, and the people really perspire. And perspiration, we know that generally it has a bad odor. But these Awliya-i Kiram, because of the excessive zikr that they used to make, it is evidence, there's proof enough, there are thousands of witnesses to these facts, that their clothes never had any smell of the perspiration. Nothing. Why? It was the effect of that excessive zikr that they used to make, that the perspiration also never had any kind of smell. In fact, Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's perspiration, we know that his perspiration was such that Umme Sulaim says that we used to gather that when he used to be asleep or when he used to perspire, we used to gather it. And from there, we used to add a drop of that in the most expensive perfume of Madina Tayyiba. A drop of Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's perspiration used to enhance that so much that it was far more fragrant than the most expensive perfume of Madina Tayyiba. So this is why barkat comes into their lives, because of the zikr that they make, because of the ibadat that they make. So in their clothes, in Allah Ta'ala's name is such that it brings barkat in everything. So Tabarak Alladhi Biyadihi Al-Mulk, in Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's hand is all kingdoms, whether it is this world or the Akhirat, whether it is dunya or Akhirat, whether it is the heavens or the earth, any kingdom that you can think of, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has full control over all these kingdoms. بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has power over all things. In His hand is all the kingdoms, and He has power over all things. Now this is what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is conveying to us, that the control of everything is in the hands of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. All mulk, all kingdoms, anything that you see power in, it all lies in the hands of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the one who controls, and He is the one in whose hands our destinies lie. But the point that I want to get to is, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala then says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Now, various mufassirin have given different commentaries, and this is not tafsir as I mentioned. But if we have to look at this, Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ, He who created death and life. First death and then life. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, so that He may test you that who does the best of all deeds. Not quantity, that how much quantity the person does. The quality, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, that the best of deeds who does, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala created death and life for that purpose. Now why does He mention death first? Now there again the Mufassirin go into details. But they say that death has been mentioned first because the person before whom his death will always be there, then it will restrain him from haram. Because the person who knows that I have to die, one day I have to present myself before my Allah, so then this will be the restraining factor. It is going to help him, it is going to restrain him from doing those things that are displeasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And also we know that first there has to be some death, after which comes life. Everything, if the egg also was first dead, then came the chick from there, or the chicken. In the same way, the person that is born in this world, before that there was death, there was nothing in existence. Then it came to life, and then again there will be death. So death comes first and then comes life. But it is a reminder that the person is going to die one day. And the person who will have before him all the time, that ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai, akhir maut hai, then this person will be restraining himself from those things that are displeasing to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then this لَيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, who from amongst you does the best of deeds? Allama Alusi rahmatullahi alayhi, he states on the authority of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, he said that here the first thing is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to test you, that أَيُّكُمْ أَتَمُّ أَقْلًا وَفَهْمًا, that who is it that has got kamil aqal and fahm, who has got perfect intelligence and understanding. Allah Ta'ala wants to test that. So from there we learn that those people who are disobedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they openly flout the laws of Sharia, they openly transgress, they are unconcerned whether it is halal or haram, they are unconcerned whether Allah Ta'ala is pleased or displeased. Then in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's sight, no matter how many degrees they may have, no matter what kind of qualification they may have, no matter what kind of knowledge they may claim to have, but in the eye of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that person is a foolish person, that person has got no intelligence, that person has got no aqal at all. The person who does not believe in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then no matter how many degrees he has, chain of degrees, and he could be the greatest scientist of the world, but in the eye of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he has got no aqal at all, because he hasn't recognized Allah Ta'ala with that aqal. So the person Allah Ta'ala wants to test, that who has got the most amount of aqal and intelligence. In other words, that person who has got aqal, that person who has got intelligence, that person who has got understanding, then he will recognize his creator and he will restrain himself from whatever is displeasing to Allah, and he will do that which is pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore the first thing that is mentioned there is that Allah ta'ala wants to test, he wants to see who has got the greatest aqal. Now who has got the greatest aqal? Aqal and intelligence, that person has got the greatest who is obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore the second part Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that ayyukum awra'u amma nahallah, that who is the one that restrains himself, he stays away from all that Allah ta'ala has made haram. Whatever Allah ta'ala has prohibited, Allah ta'ala wants to see who is it that stays away from all those things. It's not that Allah does not know, but it must become evident, as we always say that we want evidence, evidence. So in the same way here also, the person would have told Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah that you knew that I will do these things, but you didn't give me an opportunity, so that's not evidence enough, na'udhu billah. He'll say, Allah ta'ala, you knew in your knowledge that I will do these things if I come into the world and I am given life of 50 years or 60 years. Now, if Allah ta'ala had to just punish and send the person to hell because of his knowledge, then this person would have said that, but I didn't go to the world and I didn't do those things, it was just your knowledge, so how can you send me to Jahannam? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to show justice, that he sends the person to the world, he gives him aqal, he gives him willpower, he gives him health, he gives him everything, and then he tests him so that on the day of Qiyamah he cannot deny it. And then Allah ta'ala has got so many things to record. The earth is recording his actions and deeds. Every part of his body is recording his actions and deeds. The malaika, the kiraman katibin, are recording his deeds. So in this way, this person cannot then deny. He cannot say that I was not given an opportunity. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, this is what Allah ta'ala wants to see. And then the third part of it, he says that he wants to see that ayyukum asra'u ila ta'atillah, that who is the one that is rushing, who is racing towards ta'at of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala wants to see your competition in ta'at. Allah doesn't say you mustn't compete, you must compete, but in what? In ta'at of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now Allah ta'ala wants to see who is the one that races towards that. Now that is where the test is. The test is in that there will be haram, there will be halal, there will be temptations of all kind. Now this person has to restrain himself from that. So this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to see. So he says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. My Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Qiyamud Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he says that this Aziz and Ghafoor, he says Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala first mentions Aziz and then Ghafoor. Aziz, he says, what is the meaning of Aziz? That Allah ta'ala's sifat is Aziz. Allah ta'ala is Aziz. Means that he is Qadir ala kulli shay. Allah ta'ala is Qadir over everything, that is Aziz. Allah ta'ala is exalted in might, in power, he is Aziz. He is Qadir over everything. La yu'jizuhu shay'un ala isti'mali qudratihi, that nothing can make Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala helpless in the usage of his qudrat and his taqat. Sometimes a person has got everything but he can't make use of it. We know many times it happens that a country has got air force, it has got a navy, it has got everything, but the enemy suddenly comes and blasts everything away. Now he's had everything but he can't use it. Sometimes the person, due to his health, he has everything, but he cannot use it. There is a gun in the home, but the person himself, he is weak. He is lying in bed, he is sick. Now the burglars have entered, but he hasn't got the strength to get up and pick up that gun and fire. So he is ajiz. Although he has got some power and some qudrat, but he is ajiz, he cannot use it. Many a times a person is very strong and very fit, and he's taken training himself in martial arts and everything else. But if two people just suddenly come and put guns at the at the head, now what is this person going to do? Now he can't do anything, he becomes helpless. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not like that. Allah Ta'ala can use his Qudrat whenever he wills, however he wills. And Allah Ta'ala did use his Qudrat and show on many occasions. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala destroyed the entire people of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, excepting those who were on the boat, on the ark. Allah Ta'ala showed his Qudrat. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala showed his Qudrat, how he caused them to cross the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was destroyed. Allah Ta'ala showed his Qudrat with Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala showed his Qudrat in so many different places. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, Allah Ta'ala showed his Qudrat in the Battle of Badr. Allah Ta'ala showed his Qudrat in the Battle of Uhud, in the Battle of Trench, and so many other places. So Allah Ta'ala shows his Qudrat whenever he wills. But it is not that all the time you will see the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has got one what we term as his adat, a system, and the other is his Qudrat. Allah Ta'ala uses his Qudrat at certain times. Generally, although it is again with the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, but it becomes like an adat, that we see things happening all the time in a certain way, then we take it for granted that Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat is not being used here. Whereas in everything Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat is being used. Like we are so used to it that a person is speaking, we are listening and we are seeing and all things are happening. So we take it for granted. Now this is just one of those things, everybody who has sight, then he looks, and if he has ears, he listens, and if he has tongue, he speaks. But when Allah Ta'ala with his Qudrat takes away the speech of the person, then only we realize that the speech also, it was the Qudrat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala which was causing us to speak. When Allah Ta'ala takes away the sight, then only the person now realizes that the sight, it was not just the eyes and the pupil that was there that was watching, it was the Qudrat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala which was causing that eye to see. In the same way the person is listening, so we take it for granted, we've got the ears, we've got the eardrum there and everything else, and therefore we listen. But when the person loses his hearing, then he realizes that no, here there was the Qudrat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that was being used. So there are certain things which we term as the adat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and certain times he uses his Qudrat when it comes to destroying and when it comes to creation. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that he is Aziz. He is powerful. He has got power over all things. But at the same time, Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor. He is most forgiving. So he says that why did he use Aziz first and then Ghafoor? Reason is that Allah Ta'ala, when he is forgiving, it is not because he has to forgive. It's not like a person who is sick and who is in bed and somebody comes and punches him, and this person is weak and the person who has punched him is very strong. So he says, well, you are heavyweight, but in any case I forgive you for this punch that you gave me, I forgive you. Now what is he going to do? If he's not going to forgive him, he may catch another one. So he rather forgive him instead of swearing him. So this is the thing, that this person, he is forced to forgive. There's nothing else he can do. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it's not a question of being forced to forgive, that if he does not forgive, then we can take some drastic action, na'uzu billah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he is forgiving. It is his sifat of forgiveness that he uses whenever he wills. But in reality, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Aziz. So from this we learn that we have to believe very, very firmly and strongly that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has sent us into this world for a purpose. It is not just to eat, to drink, to wear clothes, to live in a good home and to earn some living and then depart from this world. All over the world we can see that what is the condition of the Muslim today. And why go all over the world? We must look into our own lives. That are we really serious? Are we really committed that we want to be good Muslims? If we have to take our lives, the stock of our lives, are we really serious and committed? Or is it just one of those things that sometimes we attend some majlis, sometimes we go to zikr majlis, sometimes we go to tabligh, sometimes we go to madrasa, sometimes we go to masjid, or sometimes we do some good work here and there. But one is commitment, that the person wants to be a good Muslim. He wants all the things of Islam to be in his life. It must not be just something from here, something from there. It must not be just choosing and selecting those things which are easy. and then neglecting all the other things. Islam is a whole, it is a package. Now, are we really serious that we want the total Islam in our lives? I'm not saying it will come overnight, but are we serious that we want it? Now, if we have to take stock of our lives, it seems that we are not really serious. There's no commitment of a kind. The person who is committed, he wants to get somewhere, then he will burn the midnight oil to get there. Look at the student who really wants to succeed, and he wants to pass, and he wants to get a distinction. Then he does not waste his time in cinemas, in theaters, and in gambling dens. That student will learn, he will spend his time with the books, he will go to the library, he will research whatever he can, the material, he will make sure that he has studied every part of that subject, and then he goes and submits himself for the examination, then he passes. But the person who is not committed, he just goes to the school, college, passes his time on the football ground, cricket ground, in the cinemas, theaters, and when the exam comes, he fails. So then he must blame himself for that. So at present, there is no real commitment in our lives. Just this morning, I gave an example to our friends there when we were taking a walk. There was one brother that I asked him, I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I've got a hardware shop." So I said, "Mashallah, you got a hardware shop. So in a hardware shop, what happens?" Generally, a hardware shop is for stocking material for the construction of a building. The hardware shops today, they sell brick, they sell cement, they sell nails, they sell hammer, they sell roof sheeting and tiles, and they sell everything that you can think of to construct a building. So I said, "You can take a lot of lesson from your hardware shop." I said, "In your hardware shop, everything is scattered. There's some nails here, there's a hammer there, there's some screws here, there's some sheeting here, there's some bricks there, there's some cement there, and everything is scattered here, there, and everywhere, planks and material. Now if a thief goes in, somebody can steal that wood there, somebody can steal the nails from there, somebody can steal some other material from there, and you can't really keep a check when a person has got a big hardware shop and just take it for granted that we don't have everything computerized and proper managers and all that. Then there's so many things that get dispatched, and from the dispatch section you get one way wholesale dispatch if the manager is also one of those members of those dispatch gangs. So then one way it gets dispatched. Why? Because all the material is scattered. There is nothing, it's not solid. Now after that, a person comes, he buys all the material, the different material. He takes it and he puts up a building. Now when the building is put up, now the person can't steal the building and go away. When the building is put up, a 20-story building was put up. Have you ever heard the person came and he tied a string with the building and he pulled it away and took it away? And yet if you have to look at that building, what does it consist of? Those same material, that same material that was in that hardware shop. All the different things that were there, when it came away into a building form and now became a solid, now the person cannot steal it. And if a person does steal something from a constructed building, it is easy to look at it. Now if somebody has to steal one window frame from there, every musalli that's walking, what happened here? One window missing. If this one fan has to go from here, every time we look up, everybody will say that, "What happened? One fan missing here." Wow. Why? Because it is part of the whole building now. Wow. So it is not easy to steal. And if somebody does steal, also straight away you can catch the thief. So I said, take this example, that is the condition of our iman. That everything is scattered all over there is. Somewhere there's namaz, there's roza, there's zakat, there's hajj. There's muasharat, there's muamlat, there's akhlaq. Everything is there. Your etiquette, your dealings, your buying and selling, your relationship with the family, with the brothers, with the sisters, with the old, with the young. Your spending, your zakat, your charities. Everything is there. It's all over. Now when you bring it into your heart and you construct the building of iman there, it becomes a very solid building of iman. When you have all the material there and the building is constructed of iman, then it's solid now. All that material which was scattered, now it became one in the person's heart. So which means that now he's got the connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that building of iman is solid. Now if shaitan and nafs has to steal something from that building, because this person has got that solid building, so he himself will realize that here was shaitan came and now he's stealing a little bit of my tawakkul. Then he will realize shaitan came and he's stealing a little bit of my zuhad and taqwa. He will realize shaitan has come and now he's stealing a little bit of my namaz. He will realize that shaitan has come and he's taking away my tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Shaitan has come and see now he is damaging this section of my life which dealt with ibadat, with muasharat, with akhlaq, this person will realize it because he has made that iman of his solid. But the person who hasn't brought the whole Islam into his life, then whether shaitan takes away his iman also, he will not be even realizing. How many people, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori Rahmatullah Alayhi says, bade bade ulama ko maine dekha, bade bade ulama, jiske naam par ise ulama ka title laga hua tha. But because he was sahib-e-kashf, ise maine bazo ke iman ko jate hue dekha. Bazo ke iman ko jate hue dekha. Why? Because those ulama probably might have justified something just because there was a weakness in their life. So they justified it and they found some form, some of justification from the Quran and Sunnah. As in our times, if a person is taking photographs and is posing for it, one is the person was in a conference or somewhere and somebody took his photograph. But if he was posing for it and is an alim, now when they have to ask him, they say, yes, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what he said was that was about something else, and now we have got cameras and we've got digital cameras and we've got this kind of sophisticated camera, so therefore it is a different thing. Now you justify it. So the person must rather say that, yes, it is wrong, it's wrong, and I've also got this weakness. But if they justify it, or in the nikah matters or talaq matters or something else, so probably they were justifying something which was not halal. And he says, I could see that their iman were leaving their heart. And if we don't believe that, then he showed it himself, that how sahib-e-kashf he was. I mentioned before too, that besides those few graves that we know from where the fragrance came out from the grave, Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali's grave, in the same way, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Sahib of Lahore Rahmatullah Ali, the great Mufassir, one was that Ahmad Ali Qadiani, and this was Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori Rahmatullah Ali. So when he was buried, there was so much of fragrance from his grave, so much that people kept stealing the sand, taking the sand, until the Ahlullah had to make dua that, Ya Allah, if they're going to carry on like this, how are we going to cover the qabr? And the person who went into the qabr, he is still alive and he's in Lahore. And he says that wo kapde ke jisse main utra tha, the clothes with which I went into the grave, he says, up till now that it has got that fragrance of Jannah. And one Maulana told me himself, he says that I took also some sand from there and tied it with a hanky and put it in my pocket. And when I went home, I realized that what I did is a wrong thing. He was an alim, but in that josh and in the shock, he went there and he also took that little bit of sand and he came home. But then he realized that what I did was a mistake. So he went back again and put the sand on the grave. But he says, hundreds of washes that handkerchief has undergone, up till today there's a fragrance of that Jannat coming from that. So why did Allah Ta'ala show it in his case? Because he used to challenge the students of, that were there of the colleges. He used to tell them that you stay with me, and whatever I give you to eat, you eat, not what you like to eat, because he was so particular about halal. There must not be even an iota of doubt that it is haram. There was no shock and doubt. When he used to go and deliver lectures, he used to carry his own chana in his pocket, and he used to hardly eat anywhere, because he was sahib-e-kashf, he could see what was happening there. Of course, we are not obliged to go to that extent, but he was, because of his kashf, now if the person can see poison, he's not going to drink that. If the person can't see it, he will drink it. The milkshake, if there is poison in there, if you can see it, you won't. But if you can't see it, you'll take it. Now, if he can see it, now what is he going to do? So therefore, he is to challenge them that you eat what I give you to eat, and you spend with me 1 year, and after that, do those exercises that I give you, spiritual exercises, and then I will take you to the Qabristan, and every grave you will see what is happening to that person in the grave. He used to challenge them, but they used to take it as a joke. Those days those students used to make a big joke of the whole thing. So Allah Ta'ala showed it, that this challenge that he was giving to you, now see it, that when he went into the grave, see what is happening. And this is not something that is a fairy tale, because there are thousands of people who are witnesses to this, and it is not something of the centuries ago. It's just about in the 1930s or 40s. So therefore there are so many people who are still living and who have seen this. So this is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala showed, that he used to challenge you, now see it in his qabr, what is his condition. So what I was saying is that when that iman becomes solid in that person's heart, now it becomes easy to recognize, it becomes easy to make out that shaitan has come from somewhere, or nafs is stealing from here. So I told him that you are very fortunate, by every day you must look at all the different kinds of hardware material, and now see that if that hardware material is scattered all over, anybody can steal and take it away. Even a child that is walking past can take a few nails and put it in his pocket and go away. But if you are going to make it into a building, then it is difficult to steal from there. So this iman, it is something that must become solid. We must take all these different ingredients and put it together and construct this building and make it solid. Then the person will realize that something is happening. But if he's not going to do that, then it will be like the person who has been given chloroform, that to him it means nothing. You can chop, cut, slice his body. At that time, when he's in that state, he does not know what is happening. But then when it's going to wear out, when the effects of that chloroform is going to wear out, then he will realize that I was cut here, and there's a pain here, and there's a bruise there, and there's stitches here. After that he will realize. But then sometimes it is too late. That means get up now before the time of death comes. Don't stay in that intoxicated state. If the person is indulging in sins and haram, and azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is outwardly not coming, so the person must never be under the impression that my Allah is very pleased with me. See, I am indulging in so much of sins and nothing is really happening. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving that person a rope. And for some of them, Allah ta'ala keeps it as a punishment for the hereafter. But the majority, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has already given them the azab. That is an azab itself that the person has forgotten is Allah ta'ala. What other azab can be there greater than that that is forgotten is Allah? And then those earthquakes and tremors and everything else that will take place will take place. But Allah ta'ala has already shaken this person's heart. There's a tremor in there. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab is already connected with that. The person's life becomes restless. There's full of anxieties, worries and restlessness. And on the other hand, there are people who are suffering, outwardly suffering. But it is a test from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So even in that severe suffering also, but their hearts, Allah ta'ala gives them a kind of a sukoon, that if something has to really happen after that, the maximum will be death. And the death will be shahadat. And shahadat is something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to whom he loves. And it is a very high stage in the life of a Muslim. For example, now, those people who have been taken away to Cuba, and they are being treated like animals outwardly, chained up and put into open cages, and the worst thing that you can think of, the civilized nation of the world, so-called, is doing. If somebody else, if a Muslim country had to do something of that nature to a prisoner, all the organizations of the world would have come down hard upon them, like a ton of bricks upon them, that this is violation of human rights. Now, is this not violation of human rights? But when we look at the condition, now we think, what was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu going through? Now we understand, when these people are being treated like that, but still there's that calm, there's that sukoon in their hearts. They still are not saying that we'll give up our Islam and Iman and we will join your forces because of the trials that we are undergoing. It's too much now, we can't take this torture and we can't take this hardship. So therefore, we are saying goodbye to the Taliban and to Deen and to Islam, and we are now going to be with you, na'uzubillah. You can see that still that Iman, because it is solid, and they were waging jihad for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So they have accepted the conditions, whatever condition befalls them. But we must make a lot of dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give hidayat to these animals. Oh, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala destroys them like the Aad and Samud. And because whatever they are doing, it is going to happen to them too. There's no doubt about that. If not in this world, in the Akhirat. But the thing is that here, these people, when we look at their condition, then we see that in spite of all the suffering, how much of sukoon still there is there. Why do they not give up their Islam and Iman? It is because they built up that building. It was strong and solid. So all the shaking and all the tremors and everything, but it is not having an effect. They still say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Exactly as Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, with all the beating, stones placed on his bare chest, dragged in this hot sands of Makkah Mukarramah. What kind of torture the Sahaba-i Kiram underwent. But they kept saying, Allah, Allahu Ahad, Allah is one. The Iman was so strong that they were not prepared to barter that Iman for anything in this world. So after a long time, we are now reading about the same kind of conditions that are befalling the Muslim Ummah. But the difference is this, that there it was the Kuffar Now here, unfortunately, it is the Pakistani government which has had all these people arrested and handed them over. The so-called Musharraf, that name has to be changed. But the thing is that how did these people get into the hands of the enemies? It's the Muslims that caught them and handed them over. But we have to make dua, that's about all we can do. And it is, as far as they are concerned, those who became shaheed, they must be enjoying the ni'mats of Jannat, flying around this. And those who are suffering, then they are waiting for that time to join those shaheeds. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَزِرُ. Some have already given their proof that they were true Muslims, and others are on the borders waiting, that when can we also join those that have gone ahead. Because life will come to an end, if not today, tomorrow. But look at the solid state of their iman, that under all that suffering and with all that torture, but not one of them still is prepared to give up any secrets or to say where the others are. And they are getting frustrated, they don't know what to do. Anybody else by now would have given up. This is the sign of true iman. Now we understand all those hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which we quote, that little while in the path of Allah in the morning and evening and all the sawab. This is what we are, what those hadiths were really referring to. The sahaba ikram ridwanul alim ajmain, that was their condition. That it was so difficult, it was so trying. The enemies were all the time pouncing upon them and putting them through torture. At that time to go on the borders and to spend a little bit of time, so the rewards were also very, very great. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all solid iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. I was going to read one poetry of Hazrat Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. Inshallah, next time. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, we know that we Muslims, it is because of our sins that we are suffering. Oh Allah, the suffering that's coming upon the Ummat is because of our sins. Oh Allah, the large majority of us, we are far away from Deen. Oh Allah, because of us being far away from Deen, the Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is suffering everywhere in the world. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq of sincere tawbah. Oh Allah, give the tawfiq of sincere tawbah. Ya Allah, forgive the sins of the entire Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of our hands and feet. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands. Oh my Allah, forgive the sins of our heart and mind. Oh Allah, forgive the entire Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, open the doors of your maghfirat for the entire Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh Allah, open the doors of your mercy for the entire Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh my beloved Allah, Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left the Ummat in one body and soul. Oh Allah, he left them united. Oh Allah, he left them with strong taqwa. Oh my beloved Allah, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'een, they believed in Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They practiced on all the teachings of Islam and Deen. And oh Allah, you gave them victory and they spread throughout the world. Oh Allah, aaj hamari zindagiyon se wo Islam nikal chuka. Oh Allah, that Islam has left our lives, that Islam has left our homes, that Islam has left our businesses, that Islam has left, oh my beloved Allah, our children's lives. Allah, we have adopted the lifestyles of the kuffar, of the mushrikeen, of the yahood, of the nasara. Hey, mere pyare Allah, it is because of our lifestyles that we have adopted that we are suffering all over in the world. Allah, hame hidayat naseef farma. Allah, strengthen our iman. Allah, strengthen our iman. Allah, give us yaqeen in your zaat. Allah, teri zaat-e-ali par yaqeen naseef farma. Teri marifat naseef farma. Allah, tera qurb naseef farma. اے اللہ تیری ذات پر توکل نصیب فرما. Allah bless us with a life of sabr and shukr. Allah bless us with a life of contentment. Allah bless us with peace, with happiness and security. Ay Allah, the Mujahideen of Islam, especially in Kashmir, Chechnya, Bosnia and Afghanistan. Ay Allah, unki bharpoor madad farma. Ay Allah, unki bharpoor madad farma. Ay Allah, in dushmano ko ya to tu hidayat de. Either bless them with Iman and Islam. But oh Allah, if they have made up their minds that they are not going to accept, and they have made their minds that they are going to reject, then oh Allah, you destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Samud. Ay Allah, aaj bhi tu wahi Allah hai. Aaj bhi tu wahi Allah hai. Tu qadir mutlaq Allah hai. Ay Allah, tu ne Quran Majid ke andar farma diya, inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Ay Allah, tu har cheez ke upar qadir hai. Ay Allah, tu aaj bhi in dushmanon ko hila sakta hai. Ay Allah, shake the ground beneath their feet. Ay Allah, shake up their military might and power. Destroy their coalition and alliance. Create division and disunity amongst their ranks. Cause the planes to crash, O my beloved Allah. Ay Allah, create the means for the release of those Al-Qaeda prisoners. Ay Allah, create the means, O my beloved Allah. Tere liye koi mushkil nahi hai. Ay Allah, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Ali Majmain, they were also tortured and they were punished. They were persecuted. But oh my beloved Allah, you changed the conditions. Oh my beloved Allah, you changed the conditions. Allah, aaj bhi tu wahi Allah hai, jo Badr ka Allah tha. Aaj bhi tu wahi Allah hai, jo Uhud mein Allah tha. Allah, aaj bhi tu wahi Allah hai, jo Khandaq mein Allah tha. Teri qudrat mein koi kami nahi aayi hai. Oh Allah, no weakness has come in your qudrat. We have become weak, oh Allah. Hum kamzor ho gaye. لیکن میرے اللہ تو تو کمزور نہیں اے اللہ ہم کمزور ہیں تو تو کمزور نہیں ہم مجبور ہیں تو مجبور نہیں اے اللہ ہم مجبور ہیں تو مجبور نہیں اے اللہ تیری قوت سے تو میرے پیارے خدا حالات کو بدل دے مسلمانوں کو فتح نصیب فرما جو منافقین ہیں ان کو اخلاص نصیب فرما اے او مائی بلوڈ اللہ چینج دی کنڈیشنز اف دی ورلڈ اے اللہ بلیس اس وذ صحت وذ عافیت Bless us with good health, with long life, with prosperity, with peace. Allah bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Allah jitne bhi deeni kaam ho rahe sabko qubool farma. Tabligh o daawat ki mehnat qubool farma. Madaris masajid ki mehnat qubool farma. خانقاؤ کی محنت قبول فرما مجاہدین کے جہاد کو قبول فرما مجاہدین کے جہاد کو قبول فرما اے اللہ ان کو کامیابی نصیب فرما اے اللہ فلسطین کے مسلمانوں کی مدد فرما مسجد اقصی کی تو حفاظت فرما پروٹیکٹ اینڈ سیف گارڈ مسجد اقصی او مائی بلوڈ اللہ حرمین شریفین کی حفاظت فرما اے اللہ جو شہید ہو چکے ہیں ان کو جنت کے اندر اعلیٰ مقامات عطا فرما اے اللہ family members that they have left behind, the kith and kin that they have left behind. Oh Allah, give them sabr e jameel and ajr e azim. Allah, those who have become refugees, make it easy for them, oh my Allah. Ek din is dunya ko chhod kar tere paas aana hai. Mere Allah, jab maut ka waqt aaye to shahadat ki maut Madina Tayyiba ke andar ata farma. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله